Good morning. It's good to see everybody with us this morning. We've got some visitors with us, and glad to have you here this morning. And we've been working through the Bible. Started about a year and a half ago, and we're almost to the end of the Old Testament chronologically. So this morning, if you have a Bible, if you turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, that's where we will land here in a little bit, is in the book of Nehemiah. I was reading a book recently. It's called Something Needs to Change by David Platt. And there are two things that really stood out to me in Platt's book. And the first was a reminder that we have a task, not just you and not just me, but we as a body of believers, but also you and me as individuals, we have a task that we are called to complete. The second was that there are numerous tasks, numerous challenges that keep us or come into the way of us completing that task. Now, if you don't know, David Platt is primarily a pastor. He's also an author, and he has done several other things, but in the book he tells of a hiking trip that he was able to take through the Himalayan mountains, and he's telling through the book about the different contacts that he had in the different little villages that they would pass through as he was on this hike, and tells about the group he was with and how those contacts impacted his view of the larger task that we are all supposed to be engaged in. And I understand most of us will probably never hike the Himalayan mountains. None of us will probably either one choose to do that or two have the opportunity, but we are called, we are each called, and we as a group are called to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're called by Jesus, Matthew 28 Acts chapter 1. We're called to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we might not always experience dramatic challenges to finishing the task here in the United States that people face around the world. But there will still be challenges and there will still be obstacles. We will still face opposition to completing the task that's before us. Nehemiah, both the man and the book, teach us about getting the work done. And Nehemiah had been the cupbearer for the king of Persia, but upon hearing that the state of the city of Jerusalem after many years of people having returned from captivity to Jerusalem, he sought the permission of the king to return and to rebuild the walls that surrounded the city of Jerusalem. Now, granted that he had the permission of the king, one might assume that this would be a quick and painless task, that it would go smoothly from the beginning to the end. But if we read the book of Nehemiah, what we find is that was anything but true. While it might have gone quickly, it definitely did not go smoothly. And this morning, I want us to look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and a little bit from Nehemiah chapter 6 and consider to think about what it takes to complete the task. And so beginning with the first verse of Nehemiah chapter 1, the writer says, "When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? Even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, our God. We are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." When Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard about the repairs to the Jerusalem wall that had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet his threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see it, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work." Then the Jews who lived near us, or them, came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some people at the behind the lowest points of the wall and at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked over things, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." And then down to the 10th verse of chapter 6. It says, "One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in at his home. He said, 'Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple door, because men are coming to kill you by night. They are coming to kill you.' But I said, 'Should a man like me run away, or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go.' I realized that God had not sent him, but he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Nodiah, and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me." So that the wall was completed in the 25th year of Elul, on the 25th of Elul, in 52 days. I think there are some things that we need to understand as we look at the story of Nehemiah, as we consider the task that we have before us, because while we may not be rebuilding a wall, we have a greater task. Our task may not be to build up a wall around us, but our task is to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world around us. And the first thing is that we will face challenges and obstacles, and some of those come from the external forces that are at work around us. There are external forces that want to keep us from completing the task that God has given to us. And we might look at those external forces, and one of them is quite clearly the enemy, or enemies, if you would. You see, you look at Nehemiah, and there was Sanballat, who was the governor of one of the areas around Jerusalem that was under the charge of the king of Persia, and he didn't like the fact that, well, Nehemiah and the citizens of Jerusalem were going to rebuild the wall. Now, there is some question about whether it was simply he didn't want the wall rebuilt, or if it became a religious thing because they hadn't been allowed to help rebuild the temple, and now they're rebuilding the city walls and they're still a little upset. But as I look at it, as I think about the fact that there is this enemy, this Sanballat and his associates, Tobiah and the others that are listed here in the book of Nehemiah, as I think about that, I'm reminded that, well, really, we only have one enemy. We may have people that present themselves to us and become a challenge. We may face people who for whatever reason, we have difficult times getting past as we work to do the things that God has challenged us to do. But I'm reminded that we really only have one enemy. One commentator wrote this. He says, "To open the attack with a barrage of words was worth trying. It is the enemy's oldest weapon, and in the form of ridicule, it needs no factual ammunition, not even argument." We have an enemy, and he is going to use people. He's going to manipulate. He is going to work in the lives of people to get them to provide means and reasons to keep us from completing the task. And with Sanballat and Tobiah, the form that he chose was simply to begin to use words, make up stories, say things that aren't true, intimidate with his words. There was no function behind the words except for to stop and to keep the people of Jerusalem from finishing their task. And we face those words. We face those challenges with the words that people speak to us as we try to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And they come sometimes directed at us, sometimes directed at the work that we're doing, sometimes directed at anything that people can find. But Satan, our enemy, really continues to do that. And honestly, if we pull back the curtain, if we were to look behind the scenes of what Sanballat and Tobiah were doing, we would find that Satan was there instigating the whole thing. He was there manipulating and working with things to keep them riled up so that they would continue to push this opposition. I'm reminded of what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul begins in verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." You see, it's not about who is in front of us that we see visibly. And I'm not going to say that we look at every person that stands against us and say they are Satan, that they are the enemy. What I'm saying is that Satan is at work in things behind the scenes, and while we may face challenges from individual people, they are not the real enemy. In fact, if you read through Scriptures, you find that Scripture says that many of them have been deceived and their eyes are darkened. They don't see because Satan is doing his best to keep them from seeing the truth. And he keeps them agitated and he keeps them riled up to keep us from completing the task. And while there was really one enemy, and while words are his primary means, there are other things that he uses. There are other things that he gets these enemies to do, and one of them is anger. He keeps the anger there beneath the surface, and he keeps it just hot enough to keep somebody motivated, to keep somebody acting. And we see that if you read through the things that the author of Nehemiah writes, you find the anger in Sanballat, in the things that he says. They are very emotional. That they are words that are forced with emotion, negative emotion towards the Israelites, and especially Nehemiah. And those emotional words are a sign. And then there's the actions that they take, and you see the different things, the ways that they try to stop the work. And we also see it in the disrespect that is shown to Nehemiah, to the people of Jerusalem. You see it in their questions about finishing the task. You see it in the ridicule, the way they ridicule how the work is going and what they believe the work is going to amount to. And then you've got Tobiah. I like Tobiah. Not really, but Tobiah reminds me of that kid that joins the bully in junior high. And to make himself feel important, he says something, whether it makes any sense or not, to show whose side he's on and to side himself with the bully. And so Tobiah says, well, even if a little fox ran on top of their wall, it would just fall over. Not paying any attention to their building and how they're doing, he has to get his 2 cents in. And the scorn, the ridicule, the questioning of what they're doing, they're all there, and they're the work of the enemy to keep the work from being completed. But it's not just the enemies. Sometimes it's not just the enemies that work against us from the outside to keep us from getting the work done. For Nehemiah, we see that it is his, well, I'm going to put this in air quotes, okay, friends. Yes, sometimes those people that are closest to us, sometimes those people who we think should be on our side, well, they become an obstacle that keeps us from finishing the task. For Nehemiah, it was the Jews that lived around them, who lived maybe a little closer to Sanballat and Tobiah, who were hearing things, and they kept coming to Nehemiah and saying, "We can't. We got to be careful. Watch out for these guys. They're coming. Be careful. Do this." And the purpose, while they're bringing news, and it may be true, it what they were hearing might have been true. There might have been some honest concern about Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the others who were around them and what they might try to do. Now, it may have been that there was a little bit of truth and a lot of exaggeration in what the Jews were bringing back to them. To tell them everything that was going to happen, and it might be that it was completely false and completely and utterly incorrect. But whatever the case, these Jews who were living not in Jerusalem, and evidently weren't part of the building project itself, these friends, if you would, were coming to Nehemiah, and they were bringing this news to discourage the work. And I think a lot of times we have to be careful when we start to try to finish the work that has been laid out before us, that we're careful about the input that we choose to accept from those who are close to us. Not because sometimes they intend to lead us astray, but sometimes they have unwitting internal expectations that they don't want to see happen. They don't want to see us, not that they don't want to see us to complete the task, they just have a vested interest in us and they want us for who we are. They don't want to see us change because we try to carry out the task. They don't want to see us called to leave where we're at because we want to carry out the task. They don't want to see us put ourselves in danger to carry out the task. And so they come to us and they listen, but they don't always have the interest of God before them. And that's what Nehemiah found, is that there were those around him who, for whatever reason, whether it be just an over-concern for their safety or whether it was they didn't want to disrupt the flow and the commercial opportunities that they had, we don't know. They just came as friends that were discouraging the work and keeping the work from being done. There's also some internal forces. It's a little bit more interesting as you try to look at the forces, the things that are trying to be used to keep from getting the work done. And the external forces are often easy to see. It's often easy to begin to identify some of the external forces, but what is more difficult sometimes is noticing and keeping our focus on the internal forces. And here I would have to say to us, to you and to me, to remember that the enemy works not just on other people, but the enemy works on us. And the enemy is at work, and that's why these internal forces are important to recognize, and that it's important to know that there are things within us, there are things within you, and there are things within me that we will use to keep us from carrying out the tasks that God has called us to, and one of them is fear. Fear. Now, I'm not sure what we all fear, but there are different fears, and if you look through the story here of Nehemiah, you find that there are several. One of them is fear of failure. Well, what happens if we put all this effort into this wall and it doesn't, we're not successful, we don't complete the task? And sometimes, I think that's our feeling. As we're called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we're called to make disciples, we're afraid of failure. What happens if I go and I share the gospel and I mess up? What happens if I go and I share the gospel and somebody doesn't listen? What happens if, and we are afraid of failure? Sometimes it's the fear of other people's opinions. Well, if I start to do this, what will they think? What will people around me think? What will people around them think? If I do what God calls me to do, what will people think? And in Nehemiah's case, it was that fear of the internal or about the opinions of others is what... I'm going to get the right name here. Shemaiah was trying to do when he was trying to encourage Nehemiah to go into the temple. He was saying, look, we need to be concerned with what other people think. And sometimes we become fearful of what other people think. And sometimes we fear because we have a misguided meaning of success. We have our ideas, we have our opinions of what success looks like. And we're afraid of what that will mean for us. If I go out and I succeed, this is what's going to happen. And we don't like the outcomes of what we envision as success. If I'm successful at sharing the gospel with X, Y, or Z, well then, this is what will happen. And I'm not sure I'm willing to accept these consequences. And I think, no, I know, I really do, I know that many times we don't act because we're afraid of success. We don't share the gospel because we're afraid of what success will look like. I might lose control if this person or that person starts coming to church. What happens if the church gets too big and I don't know everybody? What happens if this is what looks like for success to take place and we become fearful of success and we fail to carry out the task? The other problem is fear, but other times it's a wrong focus. We begin to put our focus and our eyes on the wrong things, and we really clearly see this in the story of Nehemiah because the people begin to look at the amount of work that needs to be done. They begin to look at the enormity of the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And internally, the people working with Nehemiah begin to question if the task is even possible. And then they also begin to look at anything but the task. They begin to look at all kinds of other things. They begin to look at Sanballat and Tobiah. They begin to look at this and that and the other, and they begin to take their eyes off of the task that is at hand, and they become distracted. And it's difficult to complete something if you continually are distracted from it. And the other thing they were looking at, they began to look at their own abilities. They began to look at the fact that the wall was getting taller, and they were beginning to say, we can't do this anymore. We're not capable, we're not able to continue to build the wall. And many times we, when we do get up the courage to share the gospel with people, we begin to focus on the wrong things, and it keeps us paralyzed. When we try to look at what we can do within our own abilities, it can become frustratingly scary. Because there is so much to be done, and I can do so little. In fact, I can do so little, I have to question whether it's even worth doing any at all. And the amount of work that needs to be done. Oh my, have you looked at things around us and how much we might need to do? And we focus on the wrong things. And so Nehemiah faced the external pressures or the external difficulties. He faced the internal obstacles. But what we need to learn most from Nehemiah is how we overcome the obstacles to get the work done. And the answer is relying on God. It's relying upon God. And if you read through the story of Nehemiah about the rebuilding of the wall, you find that Nehemiah's focus, his hope, his goals were to rebuild the wall, yes, but his power and his reason for believing that it could be done was because he continued to focus on God. And several times throughout the account of Nehemiah's rebuilding the wall, we find Nehemiah turning to God in prayer. When he begins to see the opposition, he turns to God in prayer. When he begins to see the friends that are coming at him with wrong motives, he turns to God in prayer. When things are going well, he turns to God in prayer. Nehemiah is continually turning his focus from the things that might might keep them from getting the work done. He keeps turning his focus to God. And in turning his focus to God, he's seeking his guidance, his protection, and his strength. Nehemiah understands that if God doesn't give them the guidance, they won't know what to do. I think often we come up with plans without asking God how we should go about things. And when they don't work out, we wonder why God didn't fulfill what he called us to do. For Nehemiah, he was seeking the guidance of God. He was seeking the protection of God. He was knowing that there was a spiritual element to this battle that was taking place. He was seeking the protection of God to protect himself and the people as they were doing the work. And Nehemiah knew that it would not be completed in his strength or in the strength of the people, and so he was praying to God for strength. And many times we need God's guidance and protection and strength and wisdom and so much more when we begin to work out the task that God has set before us. We need to pray. And then we need to be willing to answer those that are opposed to us. And Nehemiah really does answer the forces. He answers Sanballat and Tobiah. He answers Shemaiah. And he turns to those who are friends who bring these messages to him. And he begins with God's truth. He begins by telling them the truth of God's message. And I think for you and me that's important. And Paul really gets to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with the third verse, Paul writes, he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." We're not doing battle with people. We're doing battle in a spiritual realm. But Paul says that we are to take every thought captive. Every thought captive. We tell ourselves the truth of God's Word. We tell the truth of God's words to others. Nehemiah said, "Look, this is our building project. We were called by our God. I was given permission by the king." Nehemiah is simply speaking the truth to Sanballat and Tobiah and to the people and to friends and foes alike. He's telling them all again and again, this is the truth of the situation. I think many times when we face challenges, whether it's from the outside, the external forces, or the internal forces, we need to stop and we need to remind ourselves of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came and He was born. He lived among us. He lived a perfect sinful life. He died a sinner's death, though living a perfect life on Calvary to pay the price for our sins. He died. He was buried in a borrowed grave. He rose again on the third day. And about 40 days later, He ascended into heaven where He sat down at the right hand of God, and one day He's coming again to call us home to live with Him forever. You see, we need to remind ourselves of the gospel message, and we need to remind ourselves of the truth that we have the best message, the only hope to share with a lost and dying world. And we need to tell the truth to others. Sometimes we need to be willing to stand up to our friends who have maybe our best and think they have our best intentions at heart and say, "Yes, I know that that would be the world's idea of the wisest thing to do. But that's not what God is asking me to do. That's not what God is calling me to do. That might look safe. But God doesn't always ask us to do the safe things. And we need to look at the enemies. And we need to remind them that we are simply doing the task that God has called us to do. And that we will stand firm for Christ. Not only with our action, or with our words, but sometimes we need to speak the truth with our actions. For Nehemiah, it was trust in God, but yet you notice, if you read the story, that Nehemiah posted armed guards. Some of the workers were carrying swords and they were working with one hand and keeping the other hand as free as possible to grab a sword in a second's notice. But at the same time, there were some who were stationed behind the workers whose primary task was the protection of the workers. Nehemiah realized that while God was at work and while the spiritual enemy was the real enemy, that the physical wasn't unavoidable. And it reminds me that while God sometimes calls us to difficult tasks and He calls us to dangerous situations and He calls us to do those things, that we should never take them lightly. We should never just engage without thinking, but we do have to act. Nehemiah set the armed guards and then they just kept building until he could say at the end of 52 days, 52 days it took us to complete the wall. And Tobiah was wrong, a little fox couldn't knock it down. And yes, Sanballat was correct, they didn't rebuild the wall in a day. But 52 days to rebuild the wall of the city of Jerusalem was quite the task. And we may not complete the work that God calls us to today or tomorrow. In fact, the church has been working to fulfill the Great Commission for 2,000 years. But we have to continue. As I was reading book by David Platt, he tells about the challenges, the discouragement, the opposition, not of his own trek, but of those that he had met as he was on his trek, that they had faced while sharing the gospel in the villages in which they were hiking. About the challenges that those who were working to spread and advance the kingdom of God were facing on a regular basis. And in the end, we're all faced with the same enemy. He's the one that supplies them their power and their strength, but also we have a greater strength and a greater power so that we can face the enemy. And that is the power that's given by God if we will continue to turn to Him. And believing that our task is to share the good news and to introduce people to Jesus Christ, believe that's your task. I believe it's my task. And with those ends, this morning, if you need to begin a conversation about what a relationship with Jesus looks like, I'd love to begin that conversation with you. If you're ready to make a commitment, a decision this morning, we'd love to share in that with you as well. And if you need to just seek encouragement or strength today for something that you're facing, I'd love to pray with you as well. And if you need any of those, won't you come as we stand together and sing this morning, or catch me when we're done and we can visit. Let's stand together as we sing this next song.